Thank you, ushers and men. Well, we have a treat. We have a guest speaker. He is Colonel Warren Ward. He is Chief of Staff of the Louisiana Tech Research Institute. His team develops and delivers nuclear command, control, and communications education to the Air Force. Additionally, he manages the National Security Fellowship, placing Louisiana Tech students with Air Force Global Strike Command, and is involved in their work around the world. He served 25 years in the Air Force as a B-52 pilot. Many of you came last night and we saw the beginning of the Gulf War when he was in one of the seven planes that took off from Louisiana and flew over to Iraq and came back. We heard that story not only of him, but of his wife who was at home and didn't have a clue what was going on, and yet she knew something was up. After retirement, Warren has served as an Air Force civilian at headquarters, Air Force Global Strike Command, and he's done a variety of things. I'm not going to give the whole list here. He is a command pilot with more than 3,400 hours in the air. He has some college degrees, a BS in electrical engineering, and a master's degree in systems science, and another one in military operational arts and sciences, some graduate certificates. The most important thing is that he's married to Amanda. Now, we're not real sure from last night whether he's been married 35 or 36 years. I think in her mind it's 35, but maybe in his mind it was 36. Now, I don't know if that means because it was so long or so precious. I think it's probably that one. All right. They have two children, Michaela and Ethan. They have two granddaughters, Amelia and Lily. So give a warm round of applause to Warren. Come on up. It's on. How did he hit them all? I don't know. I'll tell you what,
in my former line of work flying airplanes, we would call you over-G'ing the jet. Max performing, pushing the envelope. That was amazing. Thank you very much for that. And your rendition, particularly singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, from what I understand, that was President Lincoln's favorite song during the Civil War. And try to reflect back on that time, even try to put this together. I have no idea what the nation was like at that time, but I got to think it's similar to what we're facing today. I'll lay it out there on the line right now. So with that, let me see if I can get this thing started. But the first thing I ought to say is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I'm going to caveat that whatever's going on in our world right now, God created. He is the ultimate authority. He was, he is, and he will forevermore be the ultimate authority. Doesn't matter who rises up, he causes governments to rise, he causes governments to fall. God created us. He put us in the place we are today. We are here for a purpose today. So keep that in mind. I also reference the fact where Paul tells us, it's up there on the screen, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Amen. Do we grasp that? Every person who has ever lived, who ever will live, will in fact see Jesus. Now the question we got to ask, who is he? Who is he to you? That's the big question. Think about that. The same God who created everything, put the conditions in place. He put the right people in place at the right time, the founding of this country. And there's people in this world today that would say that the United States was not founded on Christian principles. I would beg to differ. We'll get into that in a little bit. But he put it together. Has it been perfect? No. Why has it been perfect? Because we the people, we're humans, we're fallible. We tend to mess up things that God puts in place, do we not? But he's loving, he reaches out to us. He wants us to be there. So I want you to think about that. Tomorrow, we really celebrate our nation. Get to the next slide. July 4th, you know, that's men put this thing together. Were they doing something illegal at the time? I want you to think about that. Yeah. They were rising up against the greatest empire in the world. When these gentlemen signed that declaration, they were putting their lives at stake. Think about that. Now, I think Leon skipped out on us, but somewhere back in our family history, and I don't remember the name, but one of my grandmothers, his mother's kinfolks down the line, was supposedly a signatory on that declaration. And I owe it to myself to go figure that out sometime, but I take great pride in that. I really do. But the nation was born, all right? 246 years. And do we, the people, really realize what we have? Do we? Are we squandering it? It's maybe a rhetorical question, but, you know, let the hens roost where they will, all right? I wanted to point out there what Scripture says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We've sinned as a nation. We've sinned as individuals. We know that. We know the solution to it. We got to turn back to God. But why is our nation divided? Well, I'm going to see it right there on the bottom of that slide. We, the people, have turned our backs on Holy God. Plain and simple. You know, we celebrate the nation itself. A lot of people have gone forth and they've given their lives in sacred service, I think, for the nation. I was pleased to meet a Navy chief, so it's an honor to be there. Any other military, ex-military, retired, etc.? Something we all have in common, doesn't matter what branch of service you served in, is you stepped up. You did something that was a calling higher than you, something higher than self. A lot of you, perhaps, in this age group were drafted. That wasn't in my age group. That went away. The draft went away at the end of the Vietnam War. So everybody who's been in the service since the end of Vietnam, even to the present day, has stepped up. They volunteered for something. Why? A lot of different reasons. I know in mine, they stuck the carrot out there and said, here, we're going to pay you to go to school. Okay, I'll take that. So I did. And then they keep throwing carrots out there. We're going to let you go to pilot training. That sounds fun. I'm going to keep doing that. But there's something we all have in common. Doesn't matter what we did. We take an oath of office. And frankly, I still hold that oath. I've been out of the service for a long time, but it still kind of burns in the heart. The last time I took it was when I pinned on the rank of colonel. And the oath, you know, goes something like this. It was, I, Warren Ward, having been appointed to the rank of colonel in the United States Air Force, do solemnly swear I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I'll bear true faith and allegiance to the same. I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office of which I'm about to enter. So help me God. Now, I will tell you, that's common among all the ranks, all the services. We swear an oath to what? Is it to the president? It's to the Constitution. What's our Constitution? It is we the people. It is our system and values, our laws. And by the way, if you go back and research that, as the gentleman penned that so long ago, what were their references? Think about that. How did they establish a branch, a system of government with three branches? Think about that. That's biblical as well. God is the king. God is the lawgiver. God is the judge. That's their model. It's biblical. So it's pretty interesting. We've kind of turned our back on that over the years. The continual sacrifices that have to be made. I think back of, I read about General Douglas MacArthur. And his farewell speech at West Point, talking about the long gray line. You ever read that? Take a look at it. And what he's referring to is the continual flow of young men and women who have to step up and sacrifice for the nation if we are to remain free, defending that Constitution. So there's a little bit of history in the Bible that we're going to get to, but Leon dove out on me. I didn't share this with him. I don't know if you shared slides with him or not. But I'm going to put up there my personal hero and the greatest, godly patriot I've ever known. My granddad, Leon's dad. That's Glenn Ward. And pretty cool thing. He was a World War I veteran, and he had his pension. He wanted to be the last living World War I veteran. He didn't quite make that. He died at the age of 92. But we were sharing last night. I said, Leon, he rode a bicycle. He was a postman by trade, what he did. He walked in Stamps, Arkansas. I know he delivered mail twice a day, all around Stamps, which is not a flat city. It's hilly. Twice a day. I know he walked 10 to 12 miles a day most of his life, and he was riding a bicycle up into his mid-80s. My hero. I started riding a bicycle good when I was 50, so drag a man out riding a bike. But my hero. He was a godly man. He loved this nation, and I believe that he would be terribly upset what he sees today, frankly. He'd be in prayer for it. I know that. So if you've studied the book of Judges, I know, Tim, I know you have. This is not my drawing. This is something I borrowed from somebody. But the book of Judges depicts a cycle of sin in the nation of Israel. If you were to step back, you study the book, this is applicable to individuals, and I believe it's applicable to our own nation. But we sit there. You see Israel up there, the name. I'm going to tell you substitute America right now. We've come through a time. We were a founded nation. We were praising God. We've been through different cycles on this. But as we start walking our way, I don't know where we are right now. We've given up on God, largely turned our back as a nation. We fall into the idols of different things you mentioned in your prayer a while ago. It could be anything, right? Anything that substitutes God becomes an idol. But where are we on that circle? Are we enslaved yet? I don't know. I believe we're approaching that 4 o'clock position. I really do. We turn our back on God, there's consequences on that would come in our lives, would come in on our nation. I also believe that we're all going to see Jesus one day, everybody. If we're washed in the blood, we're going to be welcomed into his kingdom. If we're not, we're going to face judgment. Well, nations don't face the judgment in heaven. I believe nations are judged here on earth. Individuals are going to stand before Jesus. Nations are judged on earth. So think about that. What's our coming judgment? I don't know. God does. But I do know he's in control of all things. So I want you to think about that a little bit. What happened? What really happened to our country? Did we turn our back? Did we let little things slip in? You heard the analogies of boiling the frog, perhaps? Throw a frog in hot boiling water, he's going to jump out. If you start gradually turning up the heat, it's going to stay there. I think that's probably what's happened to us as a nation. And it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad to see that. But we really turned our back on God itself. So I want to get you a few things here and just a few references. There are many, many, many you could get to. But here's a few warnings from our own past, from our own forefathers, if you will. Take a look at those. Patrick Henry, anybody know about him? The old give me liberty or give me death stories that you grew up with. When a people forget God, tyrants forge their change. I'm going to pause there a minute and let you think about that. What was he going through? These are the fellows that were penning the Declaration at the time. These are the fellows through the Revolution. They come out by 1789. They're writing a constitution. They tried some things with the Articles of Confederation, but this is the generation that brought us the day we celebrate tomorrow. We don't celebrate a date, we celebrate a founding of a nation, a breaking away. That's what we celebrate. Look at Thomas Jefferson. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and he is, and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Jefferson's writing that in the early days. Do we recognize that today? Leave that with you. This one's always kind of intrigued me from John Adams. He says, "We have no government armed with the power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people." The fact is, they wrote that Constitution. I believe, again, they referenced the Word of God. They went through prayer with this. And they recognized at the time, oh, by the way, the Bible was kind of the primary thing that they had in schools. They were planting that in their people. So it's planted in their minds. It's planted in their hearts. And even if they weren't Christian yet, I would say, they have those basic beliefs. Our Constitution's written on that. If we turn away from it, what's he say? It's probably not going to work. That's a scary thought to be in right there. I go back to President Lincoln again. I think he has to be, in my opinion, probably the greatest president we've had. What's he say? America will never be destroyed from outside if we falter and lose our freedoms because what? We destroyed ourselves. We're so broken and fractured today, different areas, anything you can think of, I have to wonder. But I know God's in control. I know God's in control. Fast forward, you know, a different century. Ronald Reagan put out there, "Freedom prospers when religion is vibrant and the rule of law under God is acknowledged." There's many others I have on here that I didn't put on a slide, but the fact of the matter is, we've had leaders in the past that recognize the reliance on God. I can't imagine what it's like to be the president of the United States today, then, anytime. But the burden that individual has on them when they get into the office must be tremendous. You know, I talked about the oath I took early on. I used to, you know, growing up in high school and going through college, hearing the national anthem, saying the Pledge of Allegiance. The first time I did that, when I was commissioned, tears actually came to my eyes. I can remember going the first time into D.C., into Washington, D.C., in the Museum of American History, and seeing the Star-Spangled Banner, the actual Old Glory that flew over Fort McHenry. And they drop a curtain because they can't have it available to sunlight all the time. And in the background is playing the national anthem and not being able to stand there without crying. And I don't mind admitting that at all. We've lost that passion, I think, as a nation. That's just a little something there. But, you know, we need to return to what God's given us. The values that we have in our nation that was founded on. It's an incredible, incredible gift that we have. So what else do we have out there? What have our... What's the scripture say? A lot of scripture for us. But I have to ask myself, what am I passing to my own grandchildren, the next generation? So there's some warnings from scripture we'll get to here a little bit. You see there, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Is there pride? I'm going to get into, is there national pride? I think we've lost some of what we would call that, you know, patriotism piece. But is there pride of, I'm better than you, I'm grasping power? Seems to be. We get a little haughty on that. Bad things can happen. It says out here in Romans, Paul tells us, "For they've exchanged the truth of God for a lie." You see that? "And worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen." Do we do that? Again, I go back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created. He's the creator. We're not. We worship anything outside of him, we're worshiping the created. "None call for justice, nor any man pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies, and they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Isaiah's putting that out there. Lies. Bring forth lies. It brings forth iniquity. It brings forth sin. And then in Jeremiah, "They will deceive everyone, his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity." Do we hear lies all the time? Do we hear lies perhaps even in the church? We need to be careful. Tim, it's between you and God. This is God's pulpit. You're his man. So I don't take it lightly that you asked to be here today. I'm filling in for what you have for God's role. He's grounded in faith here. God bless you for taking this flock. It is God's church. We the people are gathered here in God's church. And that's happening all over the world. I have to believe there's people in churches all over this world that are praying for America today. I witnessed that, and I go back in time a little bit on a deployment to Diego Garcia. Spent a few months on the island over there. What year was that? I lost track, 98 or so. But the guys were on a U.S. Navy base on Diego Garcia, and Filipinos manned it and worked it. And we got invited out to the Filipino church the whole time we were out there. Actually got to play in a Filipino band, by the way, was there. So one guy played keyboard, I played bass, and we had fun. But we would sit in the Filipino worship service, and there it's in a Tagalog language, and they would put a Filipino next to us and interpret. And the guy was telling me during prayer, he says, they're actually praying for the United States. Now, that's a humbling, humbling place to be. Here we are, working with those fellas. We're trying to, you know, we're a deterrent force at that point because Saddam Hussein was doing some of his saber rattling. We're sitting out there ready to, take action again and have to. And these guys are praying for us. That's a humbling place to be. And our nation needs it today. It really does. So we have these warnings from Scripture. I'm going to show you one thing. This is a slide that's going to build a little bit. You've seen some flags at the top. There's two flags there. Our nation's flag. Someday I'm sure that's going to be draping a casket for me. All right? I've served that. But on the other side is a Christian flag. What's in common? Red, white, and blue. Same color. One of the things I've always liked to look at on there is one of the differences is in the fact that they come up and we rely, let's get this thing to build, the nation, I put diamond there, we rely on our instruments of national power. That's diplomacy, information, military, and economic power. The other side, what do we rely on? Jesus. That's where our security lies. All right? Some differences. The American flag, we sacrifice with blood. It's a temporal freedom. We have to continually sacrifice with blood to secure our freedom. In my mind, when I look at it, I see that's why there's more red in the American flag than there is on the Christian flag, because what? One sacrifice, eternal freedom. Jesus, the perfect blood, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we have to continue as our American freedom. All right, I just hit that. I didn't build my slide right? But that constant shedding of blood for America, Jesus once and for all mankind. Look at what the scripture says here. Greater love has no man than one lay down his life for his friends. I've seen that at military memorial services come up from time to time. And that's true. You'll step up and you've seen the stories, you've probably watched movies, and you know some of it's legend and some of it is actually real, where somebody will jump on a grenade for their friends. Why? There's an inherent love there, I think. What grenade did Jesus jump on for us? He went right up against the devil himself. Oh, and oh, by the way, he came out victorious. So God demonstrates his own love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even before you and I were born, Christ died for us. Because what? He knew us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knew us in the womb. All right? Christ died for us. Finally on here, again, I like Thomas Jefferson a lot, but the tree of liberty from time to time must be refreshed by the blood of patriots and tyrants. Jesus, by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. That's what's pretty cool about Jesus, right? One time, one sacrifice. The power, he was there from the beginning when God created. We've got that going for us. So kind of in conclusion here, I don't know how we're doing on time, but what I want to drive you back to is this nation, we're kind of hurting right now, in my opinion. But I know where this ends. Jesus is victorious. Jesus is coming back. He's the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. He's got it under control. And I think it's probably going to get a little bit worse before it gets a little bit better. But Jesus has got this. We've got to trust Him. We've got to trust Him. What we need to do is be praying for our nation. That's individually as families. Individually as Christians. You know, it troubles me when you look at the news and whatnot, and particularly things that are going on in the past couple of weeks. We've got a nation out there that the safest place that it ought to be for a child is in mom's womb. You know, we've been the past 50 years, and they do a ruling in the Supreme Court, and you'd think the nation's coming unglued. Hadn't changed a whole lot other than the national aspect of that, but you've literally got people in the streets fighting for the right to murder a child. To restore that right and make it codified in our law. That's not godly, is it? We've got constant attacks on the family. You know, media, you've talked a lot about these things. You want to put a lifestyle out there. Not only do you want to promote it, but you want to celebrate it and now force it on us. That's not godly. So God's going to take care of this. He will. But we need to be praying out to Him. He knows where it's going, but He wants to hear from His children. And that's us. We need to be praying. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves. Pray, be on their face. Repent from their wicked ways. I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. So we need to be in prayer for our nation. We need to be in prayer for our leaders. We need to be in prayer for the president, vice presidents, all of your elected officials. We need to be in prayer for the coming elections. Please, 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 because I see them, please be in prayer for our United States military. We still get to deal, again, in my job, we still get to deal with airmen, and things aren't the way they used to be. Wasn't the same when I joined as it was when you, and I'm telling you, I'm troubled to some extent. I really am. We still have technology on our side, but sometimes I fear that we're not training our hands to fight a battle. We're training for other things. So our nation needs prayer. So Tim, you mind if I pray for us? Please join me. Lord Jesus, we come to you today. We the people have erred in our ways. We've turned our back as a nation on you, Lord, but we need you. And I ask that you would just start right here in the hearts of these people in Holly Tree Church here. Search our hearts, Lord. Put us in a spirit of repentance for our nation, Lord, for our county here, for the state of Texas. Lord, we all need you. The nation needs you. I pray for our president. I pray for that he would be surrounded by godly leaders. Lord, infiltrate that the satanic bind that's out there, Lord. The spiritual warfare is deep. It's dark right now in this nation. Lord, turn our backs to you. Lord, turn us back to you into your Holy Spirit, the name of the Creator, Jesus Christ, Lord. The blood that was shed for each and every one of us. Lord, all the sacrifices that have been made for this nation, the over time, you've brought us through troubles and trials before, and I know you can do it again, Lord, but we need to turn our face toward you. Repent. Lord, be with each and every one of our service members that are out there right now. Lord, I'd ask that the spirit of darkness running around there, that your spirit would be on each of them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you would bind the spirit of confusion that's in there, the spirit of just discontent. Lord, heal our nation. Bring us back to you. Thank you that we can, in fact, celebrate the 246 years of freedom that we have. We recognize that, but I want to bring us back to the fact that it's all because of you. You've made us a light on a hill to nations all around the world. You've had us as a beacon of freedom. We've been able to do wonderful things, but only through your power and only because we were a nation that recognized you. And Lord, nations do look to us. And I think they're wondering right now, what have we done? So Lord, bring us back. And we want to thank you for the opportunity to gather freely here this morning without any fear of repression. Thank you, Jesus. Be with us all and keep us safe as we go. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's give him a hand.
Just sit down.
Hold on. Come on, Robert. I think we need to have him play another song for us when you come back.
You know, we have a really appropriate song to close the service. As we're thinking about the turning of our nation, the revival that you are praying for, or turning our hearts back to the Lord, it really starts with each one of our daily decisions, moment by moment, day by day. It really let